and welcome to the Thinking Fellows podcast. My name is Caleb. Merry Christmas from the Thinking Fellows to you. I just want to give everybody a heads up that this episode is in fact coming out a day early. We usually release on Tuesday morning on the West Coast, afternoon on the East Coast of the United States, and Tuesday happens to be Christmas this year, and I was sort of against actually posting an episode on Christmas Day, because I really believe it's a day that people should be spending with their families, and I don't want people to see a new episode on their phone and listen to it on Christmas unless they're spending Christmas alone or traveling or something like that. And so we're going to release this episode on Christmas Eve, so on Monday, and it's going to be a little shorter episode than normal. We're recording this on the Sunday before Christmas, and it's just Dr. Keith and I, my father, Scott Keith, and we're doing a specific Christmas episode this year. In the past, when we did Christmas specials, we did one on Christology, we did, I think, one on the Incarnation. And
hey, yes, it's a theme.
And this year, I want to sort of talk about balancing Christmas, because I see a lot of talk about the world has forgotten what Christmas is all about, and I sort of wonder if the world ever knew what Christmas was all about outside of sort of Christianity, right? And there's also a lot of, if you listen to some of the preaching happening right now, you get a lot of, again, those people on the outside don't know what Christmas is, and I think there's a lot of importance to obviously Christmas is all about the gospel with the Incarnation and proclaiming that word into the world. In fact, a lot of the Christmas story is sort of about proclamation, and there's a lot of people who actually find out about Jesus' birth. That's why he's got to flee, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Important people know about it. And the other thing is, I kind of want to combat the idea that the gift side of Christmas, like the secular holiday side of Christmas, is evil somehow or not actually worth celebrating.
Or that gift giving is not, part and parcel to how we celebrate Christmas.
Yeah.
Or that at least it can't be. I mean, I think it'd be difficult to argue that it isn't overblown in secular society.
Oh, for sure.
But I don't think that's anything new. I mean, we just watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with your daughter Esther, Mom and I did a couple of weeks ago, and that came out in the 50s, I think, and the whole thing is about getting gifts on Christmas, and I mean, and that's been the case for a very long time, so I don't think it's anything, commercialization isn't anything new.
No, and I also don't think, like, holidays in general as a break for people, sort of generally in society, like a break from our work, an actual designated time that you can spend with family is a bad thing either.
No, I mean, I don't know when you want to start the show, or did you need to do an introduction?
I wanted
some thoughts.
Yeah, no, I wanted to finish this up as an introduction. So so that's what today's episode's going to be about. Regular episodes, and sort of our regular interview style, is going to be starting up again next Tuesday, which is after the first of the year, 31st, something like that. So it's either like the last day of the month in January in December, or the first day of January. 2019 is going to be a big year for the 1517 Podcast Network, which Thinking Fellows is a part of. You can go to 1517.org/podcast to see all the shows. If you listen to more than one podcast on the show or the Thinking Fellows, I think you're going to be excited about some of the plans we're coming up for in 2019. I can't disclose too much of that right now, but
industrial trade secrets.
Yes, but there's going to be some opportunities for people who are real fans of the show and looking for more content coming in 2019. And I think it's going to be a good year for honing the podcast. So it'll be starting the second year of having a network, and we're working very hard to ensure sort of quality standards across all the shows and making sure that there's a plan for good content and not just pumping out as much content as possible sort of through the next year. So thank you if you are a supporter of the Thinking Fellows and the Podcast Network. Again, this is all funded by donors and kind donations. If you're interested in supporting this show or any of the other things that go on at 1517, it's 1517.org/give. And you can also hit the big red donate button if you just go to the 1517 site or the Thinking Fellows website. So, all right, so let's actually talk about balancing Christmas. Talk about the idea that the world has lost sight of what Christmas is really about. Maybe that's the church lost sight of it first, and that could be part of the problem. And then talk about sort of balancing the commercialization and the sort of the secular holiday portion. I don't want to call it secular because, I mean, it's not a secular holiday, but people do get, the government has issued breaks for people on it. So,
well, it's not, parts of it are absolutely not secular, which, you know, that makes it secular in a sense. But listen, here's the deal. I wouldn't say every Christian knows, but every Christian ought to know why the church sets aside this time of year. Of course, you know, people say, well, it's not even, Jesus wasn't even born in December. He's most likely born in October or something like that. And but the church has set aside these times of year, Christmas, Easter, Advent, Lent, for the purpose of helping people to slow down and to focus on sort of some of the primary events in the history of Christianity, right? One of the main primary events is the birth of Jesus, of course. We call that Christmas, or just the celebration of Christ, Christ's incarnation. And of course, for Christians, that means Christmas ought to primarily be about hearing the word, coming together to hear the word, specifically that word that revolves around the incarnation of our Savior, to come together in fellowship as a body of Christ, to even receive the sacrament at, you know, some of the services, not all of them, I would guess, but some of them, and to really hear that and gain the benefits that we do from hearing the word shower over us and from the word in connection to the gifts of the sacrament. But having said that, it's also not bad that there's an other component to it too, that there's a component to it that involves getting together with family. And so when you hear Christmas is all about getting together with family, I hate it when people jump on people for saying things like that. Christmas is all about giving gifts to others or giving to others, right? And people, I've heard and seen on social media stuff that people will jump on other people for that. And I think, you know, at best those people, if they're Christians, at best they're sort of speaking without thinking in mm-hmm. a sense, right? When they say all about, they don't necessarily mean all about. They mean that for them, the memorable part of this season is coming together with family. Or the memorable part of the season is getting to give gifts to someone. And maybe it's the most memorable part of the season for them isn't the time that they went to church on this season. And maybe it ought to be, but how do we handle that as Christians? I mean, do we castigate them and chastise them for simply misspeaking or for enjoying one part of it more than another? Maybe what they've got going on at their church isn't great. You know, there's a lot of reasons why this is.
Yeah, and it's, I think, one of the things that happens when we say stuff like that is that it's easy for people on the outside to say, well, they should just go to a different church. Or in our circles, well, they just need to go to a Lutheran church or something like that. And that's just a really simplistic way of saying that that's going to be better. I mean, I've been to churches where some of the holiday aspect takes over and tension at the church about how the church is decorated or not decorated or what time the services are going
to
be at.
Or who's bringing what to the Advent soup suppers yeah. or, you know, what committee is going to get together to decorate the tree or who showed up or didn't show up for the cleanup day before we decorated and all this other stuff. I mean, the fact is that just like families, churches are full of sinners. And so there can be as much drama going on in the church as there can be when you get your whole family together in the home. There's a whole other aspect of this too, that when people look down on the gift-giving part of Christmas or the receiving presents part of Christmas, I think especially for children, is overlooked. I mean, Christmas can be a magical time for children. It doesn't have to be one where they're spoiled or where they get, you know, way too much, so much stuff that you can't walk in their room after Christmas because there's so many toys on the ground. Although
I feel like all the grandparents went crazy with my kids, so I'm going to be in that situation to no fault of my own.
Well, that's possibly true. But at the same time, this can be a magical thing for children. And one of the things I've often taught when I'm out doing the being dad shtick is that we want our children to believe that miraculously or seemingly miraculously good things can happen, right? We want them to be overwhelmed with how gracious somebody has been to them, or overwhelmed with how kind and giving somebody has been to them, or overwhelmed by getting a present that they didn't deserve. We want them to have those experiences because if we are, you know, participating in the life of the church, we're bringing them to church every Sunday, and we're sitting them down. They're going to Sunday school. We're sitting them down on those pews, and they're hearing this story about a man that we call God the Father, who sent his most precious thing that he owned, his son, to become like them, to become incarnate, to live a perfect life in their stead, to die a sacrificial death that they needed in order to have life. And that he rose again, and that as another gift, the first fruits of his resurrection will be their resurrection. And the reality is that that's a weirdly impossible thing to conceive of, right? That even if you can, even if you don't struggle with the miraculous aspect of it, the idea that somebody would give that much for another person, that somebody would come in at the last minute and save the day, that somebody would provide a miraculous event, that somebody would give so much that it hurt that badly, is a hard thing to believe, but easier to believe if you've experienced some moments like that in this even sinful life.
Well, yeah, I mean, the idea of going to church is that you're going there to receive an impossible gift, right? An undeserved gift. And I think you're right, for children especially, I think a tangible gift is in some ways easier to understand. I mean, I'll use my 2-year-old, for example. She doesn't understand what human sacrifice is, what somebody dying for somebody else is.
Right, but she's getting to understand gifts.
That's right. She does understand what a gift is, and she remembers every person who ever gave her a gift. I mean, she can pick up almost any toy in her bucket that's ever been purchased for you and tell you who bought it for her and when. And she's only 2. You want her to have that same memory when it comes to gift of life.
And the gift
of salvation.
Right.
I want her to be able to remember who gave her life.
And at some point, too, she'll remember a gift that she got from probably you and Erica that you guys had to scrimp and save and struggle to get her, right? That cost something from you.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, a $20 toy that was easy to pick up, easy to wrap and easy to unwrap and easy to throw in the bucket. It's something more substantial. And that's not bad. And again, I don't think we're talking about spoiling. I don't think we're talking about having stuff in excess or giving in excess, like some grandparents I know will be doing this Christmas. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just simply the idea that Christmas as a time to give and receive gifts, showing that we love one another, that's not inherently a bad thing. In fact, it's probably inherently a good thing.
Yeah. No, and it's sort of nice that there is a time set aside for it, where that opportunity is there, even for the non-believer, where the opportunity of undeserved gift-giving is in the air, a time where the gospel might be more readily received by the ears of people.
Yeah, you mean you hear people all the time walking around. I mean, we're in Big Bear, so you can actually kind of get in many places in California, you don't get a sense of Christmas, because even like you go down to downtown Orange and it's all decorated and there's a beautiful tree. Mm-hmm. And you're in rainbow flip-flops, shorts, and a t-shirt because it's 82 degrees outside, you know. And up here, though, you can, depending on this, you know, which year it is, you can get a sense of it. There's snow on the ground. There's a bite of cold in the air. Things are decorated. There's fireplaces downtown. And you walk around downtown, and people have a different sense about them this time of year. They really are more jolly and bright. And that's a good time for people to encounter the message of the incarnation of their Redeemer. You know, and the fact that there's a possibly more secular setup for that, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you'll hear people who probably don't believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ go around singing Away in the Manger. In fact, I listened to KFI 640,
yeah,
which is our local talk station here, and these two hosts that I don't even really like, between, I think, the 10 to 1 hosts, every day they were having people call up and sing Christmas carols.
Oh, yeah.
To get tickets to go to Disneyland. Now, these two people, I don't believe, the hosts of the show aren't believers.
If they are, they're probably fair weather Christians.
If they are, they don't, you know, they don't make a big show of it, which I kind of respect on given their job. But people are calling up on this 50,000 megawatt radio station that everybody hears, you know, secular, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, that everybody listens to and hears. And they're not singing, on the whole, they're singing Christmas singing
jingle
carols.
Bells, yeah.
Right. They're singing Christmas carols and they're singing deep
hymns.
Hymns.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I snowboard a lot, especially the last couple years, and because I live so close, it's about a 10-minute drive for me, which is really nice.
Is it that far?
Yeah, from Sugarloaf, it is. And even the ski resort, right? You get to the bottom, and the lifts are playing music, and it's been like there's been several times where I'm like, "That's weird. That's a hymn." Like, and I'm at a ski resort. And I don't know if most people know what Southern California snowboard culture is like right now, but it's not.
It's
let's just say it's not reverent.
Well, just think of what you thought of Southern California surf culture in the 70s and amp it up about 10 times.
Yeah, it's like almost unanimous with stoner culture now, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. Which it wasn't growing when I was younger and doing it. Maybe it was a little bit, but I think it's like full turn. So yeah, that's interesting. And while you're there, if you get to the bottom every time, like 50% of the time, it's been like a Christmas hymn.
Right, and people know those songs and they sing them, whether they believe it all or not. Which is, if you're into evangelism at all, and if you're into maybe inviting people to your church to hear the word, mm-hmm. Is a good time to do it because they're already open to it.
Yeah.
They're already open to it. You know, this isn't the season to have a big academic argument regarding the possibility of miracles. This is a time of year where people generally accept miracles. Miracle on 34th Street, is that what it's called? I think that's one of the all-time favorite Christmas movies of all time. Totally secular, I get it. But there's a miraculous nature to it, right? And so that's easy to play off evangelistically, apologetically. It's easy for us at this time of year to nicely invite people to come hear the word with us. It's easy to get together with our family in the mutual consolation of the brethren and our friends and mutual consolation of the brethren and share the word of forgiveness and love and on account of Christ with one another.
Yeah. I mean, well, and I think too, just to emphasize that a lot of the gift giving, the majority of it at Christmas is centered towards children. And as somebody who is sort of closer to childhood memories than a lot, only being 23, I can say that the Christmas season holds so many fantastic memories for me. And even the best memories of going to church. Some of the only times where church didn't feel like going as a chore. I mean, every kid, some people, you say stuff like that and you get lambasted. But honestly, at any point, some children feel like church is going to a chore, is a chore at some point.
I mean, waking up on Sunday morning. Literally, in the case of you and your brother and sister, from the time you're 11 or 12, you start acolyting and, you know.
It is work.
Two times a month, it is a chore.
But at Christmas, like, I mean, I still, Christmas Eve is probably my favorite church service of the year. I love Christmas Eve services. At the Lutheran churches I've gone to, it's usually just a lot of hymns. And they're the sort of those hymns that are, you know, like victorious, the king has come, you know, full redemption story. And it really makes you feel, you know, victorious over sin and death at the arrival of Christ. Like you actually feel that, you know, same with Easter. And that is not wholly detached from, you know, the anticipation of the next morning, of sort of the magic that's going to happen at home under the tree too.
No, it's all part and parcel. That was the case when I was growing up too. We used to, my aunts and uncles and cousins all lived within 10 miles of us when I was growing up, and we'd all get together. We'd get together Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, But Christmas Eve, we'd get together, usually at my house or my grandma's house, and we'd have a big family meal at about 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We'd go to church at about 6:30 or 7 mm-hmm. for the service, be back home by 7:30, maybe 7:45. We'd all open the presents that we got each other that night,
yep.
you know, in anticipation of the big gift giving that would be just with you and your parents the next morning. And it was, man, it was my favorite time of year. I mean, I don't appreciate the decorating and such that I did when I was younger, but still, I mean, for many people, it's all part of that. It's just, it opens up something in them where they're looking forward to the joy and looking forward to the coming of their Savior and the celebration of that with family and friends and over good food, good drink, and sharing that mutual love with one another in the form of giving each other gifts. That's not bad.
Yeah, no. So, well, we're getting pretty close. Like I said, this is going to be a shorter episode. About
are we going to touch on Santa Claus?
That's probably not good.
Okay. Elf on the Shelf?
Oh, even worse. that one's pretty bad. I mean, listeners can know that I didn't grow up. We didn't use Santa Claus, but it's not really a bad thing. My kids don't have Santa Claus, but
yeah, we kind of stumbled into not doing Santa Claus. I didn't do it much when I was growing up, but that's just because by the age of like 5, I thought the story was kind of ridiculous. But at the same time, I know a lot of people who that aspect of Christmas was kind of magical. The thing I never, being a parent, the thing that you were very much taught the history.
Yeah, well, that was there's appalling stories of me apparently telling people that St. Nicholas died a long time ago when I was like 3 or 4, telling old ladies at the mall that I wasn't there to see Santa Claus.
That was a funny one. She's like, "Oh, you're looking forward to Santa Claus coming?" And Caleb, at 3 or 4 years old, Santa Claus is dead.
Yeah.
But like, I knew the history.
Yeah. And like my daughter Esther right now, she's 2.5 and she thinks Santa Claus is a Christmas gnome, and he's just his significance is that he looks cool.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of gnomes in our people yeah. probably don't understand that she thinks that because
there's a lot of gnomes.
There's a lot of gnomes around. No, I don't think, but I don't think that, you know, teaching your kids to believe in Santa is necessarily bad. I had a hard time, you know, I think it's important for children to know the people that are actually in their lives that love them have given them something special. And I think, you know, if you have a couple gifts under the tree that are from Santa, that's fine. And, but two, there should be some under the tree from you. From each other too, because that's significant, right? When this person who takes care of you every day and make sure you have shoes and sandwiches for lunch and all that, all of a sudden gives you a new bike, mm-hmm. you know, that's magical in a really personal way. That it being from Santa, I don't think is as much, but I'd be, you know, I'm not looking down on people who do it. So don't send us angry emails. Peace be with you.
Yeah.
If that's how you do
it. No. And I mean, honestly, even for us, there was a turning point a couple of years ago, too, where, you know, we had some really big loss, and the family as a whole wasn't financially sound before our move to California and everything. And, you know, Autumn, Josh, and I think, bought the majority of people's Christmas presents that year and bought presents for you and Mom and sort of in a different way. And still, that Christmas was less in number of gifts, but wasn't less in significance for anybody either.
Yeah, that was a great Christmas, actually.
I just, like I said, I am totally with people who are kind of tired of the over Hallmarkization of holidays. I just don't want to sort of throw away the entire idea of sort of the magic that can come with this, because, you know, again, this is anecdotal because it's personal, but for me, and I'm sure for many other people out there, the gift giving at Christmas was not detached to the gift received at church, and it definitely has created magical memories that aren't just sort of fairy tale, but actually makes sort of the incarnation of Christ, the gift of a child given for death and resurrection, for our resurrection, real.
And again, I guess I'd tie it back to the reality that you bring up the Christmas where you and your brother and sister, you know, did some of the heavy lifting when it came to giving the gifts. But that was a great Christmas all around. And it was for kind of the reason I said earlier, is that the gifts that you guys got from Mom and I that year were real sacrifices for us to give, to find that, that money to give. And the gifts that you guys went and got for us were real sacrifices for you too. And there's a good understanding. I mean, it's in philosophy, it's called a denotative definition, right? Something that you can point at and you can say, that's it over there. And when you're describing, you know, what does sacrificial self-giving love look like? Well, you can tell stories, you can give definitions, you can do this, but it's really easy to point at or to say, hey, you remember that time when this happened? For me, I've written about it multiple times. People can see it on either one of the 1517 blog or Jagged Word blog. The time I got the red line bicycle, you know, from my mom that I didn't deserve. I can look at that and go, boy, that's a tangible example for me in my life of hope. That's a tangible example for me in my life is an undeserved gift given that I didn't deserve. That's a tangible example for me in my life of somebody sacrificing to give me something that I really loved. Several tangible examples in there for me to look back on and say, well, if this is even not even close to what the love of the Father on account of Christ is towards us, it's still pretty great. And if the love of the Father towards us on account of Christ is so much better than that we can't describe, it must be pretty darn good.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome. That we should have more of that. We should do Christmas 3 or 4 times a year, maybe, if we could afford it.
Yeah. No, it's, I think it's, I don't know. I wanted to do an episode like this sort of to just kind of combat all the negativity I've seen. Maybe I think that's part the wickedness of social media.
Well, I think we're in a we're in a negative era for sure. For sure. I think we're in a political, I mean, I don't want to get into this, but politically, civil discourse wise, civil discourse within the church wise.
Yeah.
It's a very negative era.
Yeah, so it's nice to sort of kind of say, I think we can relax and make the best of, point out some of the good that happens here. Yeah. So I hope that's what came across in this episode for people listening at home. Thank you for joining us during
this traditions.
Christmas time. Yeah,
enjoy your family. Yeah. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy the gifts that you give and receive. Mm-hmm. And always remember that the reason we set this time aside is to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus.
All right. And with that, we will catch you next time.
Merry Christmas.